This is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to another Baby Hour. I'm your host, Carolyn M., and I am super delighted today. I've got Dr. Rebecca Wolf with me. She's a parenting mentor, an educator, and a mother. And she's going to be talking about punishment-free parenting, which sounds really interesting. Hi, Rebecca, and a very warm welcome to Baby Hour.
Hello, how are you, Carolyn? It's great to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you. We're really excited. I want you to tell us a little bit, first of all, is how did you actually become a mentor? And what does it mean by a parenting mentor?
So I have raised four daughters. And so I feel like I'm an experienced mother. As some of you will learn, your children are oftentimes your best teachers. And so as I was navigating my own parenting journey and running into challenges, I did a significant amount of research and reading and then became a trainer for the Redirecting Children's Behavior Program. And so I would pull parents together and we would talk about strategies for parenting. And out of that has grown my passion for supporting our children in learning by teaching them rather than punishing them. And so I raised two of my daughters without punishment.
Okay. So you raised two of them without punishment and two of them with punishment. So that gets us very interesting right away. So obviously there are four girls and they're four different girls. And there's no boys here. So that's another thing that we can't, apples and pears, we can't, you know, really discuss it. So I'm just going to go right for it. Are the two that were different from the two that weren't?
Yes, they were different. And so and I will share that there's about a 10-year difference between the two sets of daughters, right? Okay. Two older ones, two younger ones. And so the older ones in, you know, 0 to 10, I use traditional parenting methods. I put them into timeout. I grounded them. I did all of that type of punishment, kind of the traditional approach. And really found that it wasn't working. And that's really what the research shows. And so when I had my next two, I'm like, I'm going to try this. And I felt a little guilty running an experiment on my own children. But in hindsight, I think it's important. And I did see some differences, right? The way that they approach relationships in their lives, the way that my relationship with them was. And what I really learned through all of this is the best part of doing this is it makes parenting easier. And that's really why I want to share this message. Because if you think about it, when you're trying to control somebody's behavior, when you're getting into that anger and frustration and wanting to lash out and punish them, that's hard. That's hard work on you. But if you approach the relationship with your child from a point of, I'm just going to teach them, I'm not going to try to control them, I'm not going to try to force their behavior, you're much more relaxed as a parent.
I'm getting the gist of it here. So I've got a couple of questions, as I always do. Are we just talking about physical punishment? You know, like a slap on the tusik or something like this, or we're talking about timeouts, we're talking about not getting your pocket money. These days we're talking about taking your phone, which is probably the worst punishment in the world. You know, is it all of this together can we curve all of these punishments? Can we put them all in the same basket and use diversion tactic, maybe?
Yeah. And you know, diversion is one method to do this. And so to answer your question, yes, it's the whole bundle, right? We're not using timeouts, we're not using grounding, we're not using taking things away, right? We're totally treating our children as if they had value and that we and really, so diversion is one method. Teaching is a method, right? If you think about what we're really wanting to do is support them in learning how to be a person, how to control their feelings, how to manage relationships,
how to deal with different situations.
Pardon?
Different life situations, how to deal with them in a different manner than what we're used to. Now, obviously this comes to a clash when the kids start going to kindergarten and when they go to preschool and school and all the rest. Obviously the physical, there is no physical now. It's not legal in any, most of the Western countries, it's not legal. But the timeouts and the different, you know, regular punishments, they're all still there and they're all still practiced and they're all still taught to the teachers and the kindergarten teachers. So how does this align with the parenting that you're doing? Because obviously home and school, there's always going to be a par, but it doesn't sound like we're singing from the same hymn book here.
Right. So, you know, and that is something that I have considered, right? That, you know, these children did have to learn how to live within a society where there was still that punishment model. I did have all of my children go through Montessori schools.
Okay.
Right. So there are education systems out there that, you know, the model of Montessori is follow the child. And so there's a focus on really honoring what the child is bringing to the classroom. And although it's not totally punishment free, there certainly is less of it in those types of classrooms.
I think it's maybe the more autonomy. Maybe it's a bit more autonomy for the child, something mm-hmm. more in this line.
Yes.
Now I'm thinking, okay, now where does the moral compass come in here for the child? I mean, how do you build the moral compass and how do you stop them from understanding that it's not all about me?
Mm-hmm. So really, you know, one of the things that we have all learned, right, is that children, they don't listen to what we say, they watch what we do. And so the best way to build that moral compass is to model it. And then let's say that a child is in a situation and let's say that they, an example I've used in my book, let's say they're playing with their friends and they cheat in a game, right?
Okay.
And you know that they've cheated.
My grandson in Monopoly, but the cheat is not my grandson.
Right.
It's my son. And they even put it on Facebook the other day, how when my grandson went to the toilet and his dad, who is my son, stole his money.
Yeah.
So I said, I have an answer to that. Do you know that Monopoly now has its own credit card?
There you go. I love it.
So
love it.
There you go. That's teaching. Yeah. That's about cheating there. That's a lesson.
Yeah. And so let's say a child has cheated, right? Rather than punishing them, right? So imagine if you're that child, you're already feeling bad, right? Because we do have an internal moral compass that we're just born with, right? So that child is feeling bad. And then you punish them. You say, you know, I saw you cheating. We don't cheat. You're going to spend the afternoon in your bedroom in timeout, right? Or whatever it is you choose to say versus, hey, I saw that you were cheating there, right? And so you don't accuse them like, hey, were you cheating, right? Because when you ask an accusatory question like that, you back people into the corner, right? So just be respectful and say, hey, I saw that you were cheating. Make an observation and say, let's talk about that, right? Tell me why you cheated, right? And the child may say, well, I'm getting really frustrated because I can't win. And then you have a conversation about winning and losing, right? And you help them understand why cheating is not good. And then you also help them problem solve. What's something you could do next time, right? Maybe this isn't the best game to play with these friends. Maybe we look at something else. So you're educating them. You're helping them learn rather than just punishing them. Because what we know is that punishment actually causes more misbehavior.
And I suppose it breeds resentment.
It does.
But again, somewhere in me, in the back of my head says to me, well, you know, if I'm the kid and I've just cheated and my mom says, well, hey, you know, why did you cheat? And I'll just throw her a line here, you know, because, you know, I don't like losing or something, whatever. And my mom says, well, that's okay. We'll just talk about it further later. Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe that the mind will be saying, oh, cool, you know, I can do what I want. My mom's just going to say, well, let's just talk about it. So,
yeah, you know, I think that that's our fear. And you know, there's this is this idea of not punishment, not punishing is it's a pretty radical paradigm shift, right? And I think that when we think about making a big change, oftentimes a lot of fears come up, like, well, what, you know, I even was afraid of that, you know, like, well, what if I wreck these children and they just end up being these individuals who go out and do terrible things and have no moral compass. And yet what I found was the opposite is true, right? These young adults, because they're young adults now, are conscientious, they're kind, they're hardworking, they care about other people, right? Because that's what they were shown, right? They were, through their whole childhood, they were treated with respect. They had a voice. And so now as young adults, that's what they expect from other people. And that's how they treat other people.
Okay.
Children learn what they live.
That brings me full circle here, because you got two older girls who mm-hmm. didn't get this education. They didn't mm-hmm. get this way. And you punished them in the normal way. And so how would you say that their moral compass is different from your other girls? I'm sure you're not going to say, well, they're liars and cheats. So, right. You know,
and they're not, because remember, I made this shift when they were about 10. And so they went through a few more of their developmental years with me in that environment. So from about the age of 10 and 12, I stopped doing punishment with them as well, right? That just became how this household ran. So they didn't get their phones taken away. They didn't get grounded, right? So they're kind of a middle control group, right? They had okay. a little bit of the before and a little bit of the after.
So it wasn't like an overnight thing. You know, it wasn't like from one day you're getting punished and the next day you're not, you know.
True. You know, I think that I was processing this
over a little while,
but yeah. there kind of was a defining moment, right? When it was time to, you know, when my, I had a baby and a 2-year-old, and that 2 is when you have to start, supporting them and learning how to live, how to address misbehavior, how to, you know, address a tantrum. Right. So, but you know, in, like one of the things when I was reading about, just the relation parent mother, the parent child relationship is when it's close and you are there for them, right? They have better attachment. And then as they step into being older, they are more confident and comfortable. And one of the things that I remember about both of my older two is they had security devices, right? They had a stuffed animal that they couldn't go anywhere without, or they had a blanket, or they had some kind of security device. And my younger two never had that. Right.
Oh, okay.
It
okay.
was, so that's, and that was just kind of an aha moment when I was reading a research paper. It's like, wow, that really did play out in my life. Right. That,
okay,
there
so
was
you're
that
saying
difference.
We're baby hours. So we generally talk about babies. So we'll go back to the baby stage now. So, most people are not punishing babies, you know, they don't get timeouts, you know. I mean, and I know that they have a conscience. If the baby's crying too long, there's all this, you know, now they've got the clocks on. Can you let it cry for 5 minutes? Can you let it cry for 10 minutes? And Google will tell you 1,000 answers to that question, you know. So when can you actually kind of start? I mean, the question is probably when do you start punishing your kids? So when can you start not punishing them? So that's
right. That's right.
So that's quite a good question, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think typically we don't see behaviors that are negative until a child is probably, I don't know, 15 to 18 months. You know, every child is different and unique, and that's something that also is important, right? There's not one way to parent. There's not one way to address misbehavior, right? Even between different children. So, you know, when they start running around and you know, a 18-month-old will potentially, you know, reach out and grab things they're not supposed to, right? So one of the things, you know, or maybe they'll put something in their mouth that they shouldn't, right? So there's a few behaviors that you want to start addressing when they're little, but it's really not until about two when they cognitively start being able to think about what they're doing. And then, of course, it progresses, right? Year is different for every, you have to change your parenting strategies along with the changes that are happening with your children.
So that brings me on to another couple of questions here. Can you mix and match? Mix and match, you know, a bit of punishment and a bit of not punishment, you know, pick and mix like Woolworths, you know?
My recommendation would be no, because one of the things we've learned about any,
I guess.
Yeah, any relationship, and this could be at work when you're supervising people, right? All the way to how you parent, and consistency is probably one of the most important things. Children need to know what to expect, right? They need to know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that they need rules and they need borders, but then again, I'm still in the back of my head. I'm thinking, well, what's the consequence of bad behavior? You know, we got to learn. We got to grow up and learn the consequences to our actions. Mm-hmm. So how do we teach the consequence without the feeling of punishment?
Right. So one of the things that I think we all need to remember is no child wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'm going to misbehave today. I think I'm going to go and do something wrong. So most of the time when a child misbehaves, it's a mistake. It's an error, right? I didn't mean to do that, right? I think that's why punishment can feel so bad and create that resentment that you mentioned, right? It's because I didn't do this on purpose. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm not trying to do something wrong. I'm just doing the best I can with what I have. And so the, you know, certainly the consequences. I mean, an example that I've used in other arenas is, you know, let's say a 4-year-old comes running in the house after playing in the rain and runs through the house with their muddy boots on. Okay. Right. Did that child go, I'm going to get away with something, and I know I'm not supposed to run through the house with muddy boots, but I'm going to do it anyway. No. Right. They're excited. They've been having fun. They run in, they forget. Oh my gosh. Right. So now you have a muddy hallway.
That's a very minor infringement. You know, that's
right.
like
so share you know, a
not
more
stopping
major
at a stop sign maybe in your car. But we're talking about, you know, more major stuff here. You know, you've just bitten the arm of your kid in your kindergarten class. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to show them that there is a consequence to biting the arm and not just mm-hmm. take them aside and say, well, why did you bite her arm?
Yeah, no, absolutely, right? They do have to know. So in that case, right, if they're biting, right, you want to make sure that they know that you don't bite, right? And you have them apologize to that person, right? You have them say, right, you just work with them to make them realize this is not something we do. And you can be very firm in how you educate, right? You can say, we don't bite. And biting, people are not for biting. I mean, that's what I said. You know, people are not for hitting. I had to say that over and over and over again in my house. And in fact, you know, it was funny. My husband was like, who taught her to hit? And I'm like, no one teaches a human to hit. Hitting is a natural response. We have to teach them not to hit, right? It's just, it's almost like when you block something getting thrown at your face, it's a natural response. When a child is angry, they lash out, and you have to help them learn other ways. So, you know,
it's very, very interesting what you've been telling us, but we're just about to run out of time. So okay. Give us a quick sum up, Rebecca. Where can people find you if they want to find out more about mentoring, if they want to find more about your book? Tell us a little bit about your book and go for it.
Sure. So I have a website. It's my name, Rebecca Wolf. So RebeccaWoulfe.com. I've got information there. My book's available on Amazon. It's The Gift of a Punishment-Free Childhood. So
Wow. Obviously, we're going with everything will be up on our site, on our podcast, where people can get to you. At this point, I'm going to say thank you ever so much. It's been an eye-opener. Thank you again, and we hope we'll see you again very soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
This is Baby Hour, radio for parents.